Good morning, everyone. Today we've come together to explore fear as seen through the lens of love. As Carrie mentioned, I've been writing a resilience blog for my Facebook page and my email list during this time of sheltering in. In response to that blog, people have been sending me a lot of emails and links to videos by famous people on what COVID-19 means in the big picture of universal or God-based love. For example, Eckhart Tolle, whom I greatly admire and think is a rather enlightened being, states in a YouTube that the worldwide pandemic is a shared, quote, corrective level experience, and our current adversity is an opportunity forcing us to go to a deeper dimension of who we are. I understand Tolle's view. I even share his view as an in-the-end perspective regarding COVID-19. My sense is that we are all the beloved creations of a loving creator, so there can only be love. That said, such views are what I would call mountaintop views that don't provide much comfort to the families mourning the loss of a beloved someone to COVID-19 or to the exhausted healthcare workers caring for the sick and dying, or to the millions of people who are experiencing great stress due to sheltering in and sudden unemployment. Author and Franciscan friar Richard Rohr is fond of saying, all great spiritual growth comes from either great love or great suffering, but I don't want to minimize the suffering that so many of us are encountering due to COVID-19. I don't want to just explain that suffering away from up high on a mountaintop. There are three circumstances of adversity that have greatly shaped my life. The abuse I experienced in my childhood home, a life-changing traumatic brain injury, and the loss of my home owing to forces of political and social injustice within my community. And yes, in the end, all of these experiences added a deeper dimension and understanding of who and what I truly am. And all of these experiences left an eventual view of transcendent love in their wake. But in each circumstance, it took distance and work to heal and get to that view of love. In any of these experiences, if I had been asked to immediately leap into, oh, this has all been for your greater good, I would have wanted to rage against those words, and I would have never believed them at the beginning. In my mind and heart, I sense that it is imperative for our overall well-being that before we seek higher truth regarding our COVID-19 experiences, that we must first honor the painful in the trenches truth of what we have been and are still going through. That honoring will require that we go through the process of acknowledging and feeling the grief and losses and pain, and for some of us, trauma of what has happened. Only then will we be able to accept, let go, and embrace the higher truths found within our experiences. There's a clarifying lens of love in doing this as well. Illuminating our individual and collective fears at a visceral, rubber has met the road level can also be a lamp that lights the way to an eventual framing of truth that is an expression of transcendent love. One of the things I've noticed about much of the media coverage of the COVID-19 crisis is the way we are being told what our fear should be, what it is, and what it all means. Fear is framed as inevitable and enduring, the uncontrolled monster at our dinner table who gets to tell us what to eat, the monster who gets to throw food at us, and there's nothing we can do about it except perhaps rage or cower until our guest leaves through a post-COVID-19 door that is at the moment invisible to us. I have to say, I think that we are all so much bigger, greater, wiser, and more powerful than that. Consider these options instead. What about continuously dialoguing with our fears as they come up? What about asking of fear, "Fear, what are you trying to tell me that I need to know?" What about embracing fear as a friend so that fear can soften and allow and be transformed into light and love? Here's a metaphor for your consideration. Our friend fear is the bearer of many gifts, is in fact a gift. Fear's initial gift is letting us know that we are in danger, under threat in body, mind, spirit, and emotions. What fear wants at this point is acknowledgement. So fear, thank you for that gift. But alerting us to danger is only the bow on a very big box. We must not get distracted by the fancy bow and think that that's all that fear has to offer. There's still the wrapping paper. Written on that paper is this: this threat is either real or imagined. It is up to you to figure out which. Be present to the now and you will know. Inside the gift box is fear's healing message of love. You need to make a shift in consciousness. The shift in consciousness that is needed eventually comes through the practice of compassion for our suffering and compassion for the suffering of others. This self-care and care for others allows us to see that fear is an expression of love, all along there to guide us to higher ground if we so choose. In a recent online video, writer Elizabeth Gilbert says something similar. She says, love is all-inclusive of everything we are and feel, including fear. During the COVID-19 situation, Gilbert says she has often found herself either writing or saying to herself, I love you, I see you, I know you, I love you, as a sort of getting through mantra. These are words of compassion, she said, she wishes someone else would say to her whenever she struggles with the COVID-19 situation. In the past month, I have found myself doing something similar, saying words of compassion out loud to myself, for myself and for others, sometimes without even realizing that I'm doing it. When watching a news story, for example, about yet more COVID-19 suffering, I find myself saying, oh, compassion for him or her, whoever is suffering, compassion for us all. I keep repeating the words until my heart has processed the sorrow I am feeling for all of us, all of humanity, and that person in particular. I have found too that my morning and prayer meditation practice has become a series of compassion practices that serve to ground me in unwavering love and acceptance for the day, as well as just kind of grounds me in the now. My favorite compassion practices right now are a practice of blessing, loving kindness, and tools I have cultivated from the fabulous website selfcompassion.org by Kristen Neff. In closing, I would like to share with you Neff's 5-minute self-compassion break. It's one of my personal favorites. I think this self-compassion break can really be used as a jumping off point for sending compassion to others as well. The 5-minute self-compassion break has 4 steps. Step 1, when you notice that your inner environment is out of balance, stop. Just stop, whatever you're doing. A lack of inner balance can present itself in so many different ways. It might be a worry stuck in the head, a negative thought that you can't seem to release, anger, frustration, or anxiety that you can't release. Step 2, silently say to yourself, whatever your experience, this mind chatter perhaps, whatever it is, this is suffering. Remember, our fears just want acknowledgement. And in step two, that's what we're doing. We are acknowledging that we are in fear, we are in suffering. Step three, focus your attention on the area of your body where you feel the breath is most prominent, breathing in and out. Continue to breathe in and out while focusing in that area until relaxation or greater inner ease or a sense of calm come over you. In step four, you say a series of three soothing and allowing phrases. And I find it that it's helpful to say the phrases as if you're talking to a beloved child. You are your own beloved child in these moments. May I be kind to myself in this moment. Then calling yourself by your own name, Elizabeth, I am so sorry for your suffering. May I be free of suffering. I often use any part of step four as an in-the-moment practice. May I be kind to myself in this moment. Elizabeth, I am so sorry for your suffering. May I be free of suffering. Consider if this practice will be of comfort and benefit to you now. I look forward to seeing you all in person once again when that's possible. In the meantime, thank you, fear, for leading us to compassion. And thank you, compassion, for being a gift that expresses our true nature, that of love. Thank you.